All right, guys, good afternoon, and thank you for coming to a Thursday session before the after party at Tech Ed. This session is about App Controller, a self-service portal for System Center. We're both program managers for Microsoft. My name is Tabriz Muhammad, and this is Yuan Zhen. And we are going to walk you through, hopefully in the next hour or so, about what self-service is in System Center 2012. And System Center 2012 SP1. And hopefully, since this is a new product, give you guys a good introduction about what App Controller is, how to use it, where it fits into System Center, all that good stuff. So session objectives, obviously, understand what exactly App Controller is, how you can use it, how your customers or your users will benefit from it. We already RTM System Center 2012. But obviously, we're working on an SP1 release, you saw in the keynote and such. And we'll tell you some of the new features that are coming as part of the SP1 release for App Controller. And since it's, you know, breakout session, it's a fairly smaller breakout session, answer your questions, make it fairly interactive. If you guys have a question about something that you see on the screen, whether it be a demo or a slide, feel free to ask it on the spot. Totally interactive sessions work much better, I think. And obviously, at the end of the session, understand that App Controller is a product, is a component of the System Center 2012 suite. Really try to hit home the fact that it is a single console for both services and VMs across your public, private, and hosted clouds. And I combined the last two bullet points. Oh, and agenda. These are a lot of duplicate built-in slides, but go through some basic hierarchy deployment strategy. We won't walk through setup, but just explain what App Controller is from an engineering technical standpoint and show you how you can connect from a fresh App Controller install to your VMM-based clouds, your hosted clouds through SPF, and Windows Azure subscriptions. And we will do some basic operations and management scenarios around that, including what RBAC is in App Controller and how you can leverage it, and some operation scenarios around virtual machines in VMM and Azure, as well as services.
Okay, so let's quickly get started. Like Tabriz said, App Controller is a System Center 2012 suite product. So if today you are already a System Center customer and you're using System Center 2012, you actually have this available to you for free already. So what is App Controller? Really, it's a web-based self-service portal to manage applications running in all your clouds, whether it's public cloud or private cloud. And in SP1, we also introduced the support for clouds provided by your hosting providers. So one of the questions that came up before was, so what happens to the virtual machine manager's self-service portal, SSP, and also the SSP 2.0? What happens to those products? Couple clarification for that. So Virtual Machine Manager self-service portal is replaced by App Controller. So for the upcoming Service Pack 1 release, VMM SSP will no longer be shipped, and all the features will be replaced by App Controller. At the same time, the SSP 2.0 was supported for System Center 2008 R2 suite and not System Center 2012, and it hasn't been updated ever since. It's being replaced by App Controller and Service Manager portal in 2012 release. So really, if you are looking for a self-service portal, App Controller is what you want to look for. So this is a very high-level architecture we're seeing here. We have a couple terminologies here. When we talk about private cloud, really what it meant is that it runs on your data centers, on-premises data centers. When we say public cloud, it's running in somewhere that you don't own. And in this context, public cloud means Windows Azure here. In the case for App Controller, we support private cloud that's running on top of Virtual Machine Manager, and it can be running on any major hypervisor, so it's Hyper-V, VMware, or Xen. And in SP1, we also added support for hosted cloud provided by Service Provider Foundation. So that can either be public or private. Again, it's supported by Virtual Machine Manager. The cloud is provided by Virtual Machine Manager on top of the major hypervisors. So what App Controller does is it manages your VMs and services running on top of all those clouds. And that's where App Controller is sitting at. So very quickly, I'll give you a quick demo on what App Controller looks like and how this whole single console for self-service users look like. So here, I'm logged into my App Controller server as an administrator. In the overview page, as you can see, I have a couple of the clouds, private clouds, and a couple of the public clouds. Can drill into the clouds view and see. I actually have two clouds, the gold one and the silver one, that's provided through the hosting provider, MarchSpace Hosting. And I have an on-premise private cloud that's provided by my VMM server running in my own data center. And I have two Windows Azure subscriptions listed there, and that's my public cloud. Very quickly, service view, you can see all the services running either on your private cloud or public cloud. And same with virtual machines view, you can see all the virtual machines running in your cloud. One of the things to mention here is that we also support the new Windows Azure virtual machine load introduced last week. So, quickly show. Some of the VMs running here are running on Windows Azure, and they shows up here in this view as well. And we have a very quick library view that manages all your resources, so you can copy and paste your VHDs, your ISO files between your clouds easily. And finally, as administrator, I can see some settings such as adding a cloud, managing my access control and all that stuff. Jobs view very easily, it's just auditing for your task that's being performed. So that's a very quick overview for App Controller. Is there any questions so far before we move on to? Great.
So you know what App Controller looks like, at least an environment that has some VMs running in it, some VMs and services. Now, real quick, want to touch on system requirements so I can cover both the 2012 release and some minor changes for the SP1 release. Server 2008 R2 or later, obviously standard. We require the VMM console to be installed on the App Controller server. That's how we communicate with VMM. Disk space, 1 gig, negligible. We require .NET 4, IIS 7. We'll install these for you if you don't have them on the box. SQL, obviously required database, and pretty common processor and memory requirements as well. So very small VM, obviously, that's required to run App Controller. App Controller for SP1 will obviously support Server 8 with SQL Denali. SQL Server 2012. So some people ask for just, you know, they have a website and App Controller itself is an IIS website. How can I make this more resilient? How can I make it more available? App Controller supports being deployed in a highly available environment, just like any normal IIS website that you guys would deploy. You can deploy App Controller on multiple nodes and then throw a load balancer in front of it, Microsoft or otherwise, and App Controller would support active-active behind that load balancer. And you can also, if you want to do this for just a sandbox or you're testing App Controller or just getting started, you can install App Controller in the same box as a VMM server. Just read the documentation. There's a port you'll need to change. Otherwise, the App Controller server will work sometimes and not others. So just check the documentation if you plan to have the App Controller server run on the VMM server. So we have our blank App Controller install, or we'll show you one in a second. And how do you get started? You install App Controller, it's not connected to anything, so you're going to connect it to a VMM server, so you could get the benefit of all the clouds that an administrator has created for you, Fabric administrator has created for you in VMM 2012, because clouds are a new concept in VMM 2012. We have a requirement that App Controller and the VMM server have to be in a two-way trust with each other, and we highly recommend that the administrator for App Controller is also an administrator in VMM. It's not required, but we recommend it because it makes some management scenarios a little bit easier. For a hosting provider, if you want to connect to an SPF backed cloud, and that's obviously backed by VMM, you will use a management certificate. We'll show you what that actually means, and you'll have a service endpoint URL that you point App Controller towards. And for Windows Azure, also a management certificate where you've uploaded the public key into Azure and you retain the private key for your own server, and then the subscription ID, which represents what the Windows Azure subscription is. So we will jump into what it means to connect. So, hop here into settings, drop down to connections. Internet is incredibly slow. Is it working on yours better? Oh, never mind, of course. As soon as I want to switch, it shows up. So let's say TechEd VMM server, and then I'm just going to give it the VMM server that I want to connect to, FQDN. And this checkbox here, automatically import SSL certificates, what does that mean? It allows us to retain the certificates for all the VMM library servers that are behind this management server so that we can copy content between different VMM library servers that may be behind different management servers. So it allows us to orchestrate copying between VMM deployments. So I'm going to go ahead and add this here. And here, this screen is basically asking me to disambiguate. My username is a member of both the administrator and engineering SSU role. Basically, what it's asking is, who do you want to be now that you just added this connection? It's going to add this connection here. Just give me a quick second. I need to grab the certificate. So that's how you connect to VMM. For SPF, you specify a connection name. So let's just call it TechEd SPF. Need to wait for this to load. Man, the network here is killing us. Killing. All right, there we go. Great. So you guys will get a look at all my awesome passwords here. But this is the URL. And if you guys attend any sessions or listen to any of the sessions on Channel 9 after TechEd, you'll know what this URL actually represents in SPF land. Oops, wrong server. So we have this here. I'm going to specify a certificate file for it. So this is just a PFX, and again, when you go to learn, this is not a session about SPF, but in SPF, you will install a certificate that you'll hand out to your customers if you're a hoster, and they'll be able to use your capacity through that, and we have a password for it. So go ahead and wait for that connection to finish, and then the last thing that we have here is to add an Azure subscription. So I'm going to have TechEd Azure. Very simple, just copy-paste your subscription ID. Your management certificate. And again, so for the management certificate, great documentation on TechNet about what this actually means. But you upload the CER, the public key, into the Azure management portal. You retain the PFX containing the private key for yourself. And this PFX you upload into AppController. And that allows us to communicate on your behalf to Azure. So copy my super secret password. Man, wrong connection. And in about a minute, with the network delay, we've added three different types of cloud providers out there. So you've got VMM, just regular on-premises VMM. We've added an Azure subscription, and we've connected to SPF, a hoster-backed cloud. So switch back to PowerPoint. So now that you've added clouds, what do you do after that? So for self-service, the whole idea is that, you know, you have some users who just want to come in and start consuming capacity. They really don't want to be bothered with seeing a bunch of assets, and user IT administrators may not want them to see assets that don't truly belong to them. So how do you accomplish this across the different kinds of clouds? In VMM, we delegate or flow through our calls for authorization checks to VMM. So what that means is, when a user logs in, obviously AD-based users, we rely on VMM to tell us what that user has access to. So once you've set up your user roles, membership, scope, what resources they have access to, et cetera, in VMM, AppController will pass through that information and will just honor what you've set up in VMM automatically. So you don't need to set up VMM RBAC and then come into AppController and set up additional RBAC. In the case of a hosting provider, this is SPF, and this is a new feature in SP1. You will manage the RBAC within AppController. And the reason that it's an AppController, not in the hoster, is the hoster, when they give you this capacity, they're going to grant somebody in your company or in your enterprise the permissions of being a tenant administrator. And this is a concept in SPF. That tenant administrator will be the user that basically controls access to that hosted cloud within AppController. And then within AppController, that tenant administrator can then partition out or grant access to other self-service users that log into AppController to use that hosted capacity in SPF. And again, so it allows you to have hosted capacity or capacity you're consuming from your hoster, but then secure access to that using AD users and groups. And similar story for Windows Azure. Those of you who have played with AppController already, you know that one of the benefits of using AppController in front of Azure is that you don't need to share your live ID out with your entire development team. You just add the subscription management certificate into AppController, and you use RBAC users and user roles to control who has access to that Azure subscription. So essentially what AppController is doing is it's going to lock down the management certificate and only give access to that connection for people that, you know, have access to this Azure subscription. So it allows you to add maybe 10 different Azure subscriptions, but then control who has access to which Azure subscriptions using Active Directory security groups and users. So hop back to our slow demo rig. Real quick, just want to show you what the clouds mean. So this is the clouds view, very similar to what Ewan showed in the beginning. We're actually replicating this environment on the fly. It's a different AppController instance. So I'm logged in with administrator access here, so obviously capacity and quota don't really apply to me. But you'll see here that you have your SPF-backed clouds, my clouds, whoops, from VMM, and then my Azure subscription, which we treat as a cloud in AppController here. So I jumped down here into user roles. And obviously, administrator has access to everything. But I want to create a new user role here. And I'll say, let's call this DevOps. And I want DevOps to have access to only an Azure subscription. And I'm going to add Ewan to this. So essentially what I've done is I created a new user role in AppController, added Ewan to membership for this user role. And I said she can only access the Azure subscription here. So I go ahead and click OK on that. Wait for that transaction to go away. And I repeat a similar exercise to create a user role that has access, you know, to only SPF. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, depending on how long this takes to come back. OK, so a similar exercise, DevOps, awesome. And I'm going to add another person from our team in the audience, Stephanie, and grant her access to this SPF-backed cloud. And now I've just created two user roles. I've created a DevOps group, which has access only to the Azure subscription, and I've created a DevOps Awesome group, which has access to the hosted capacity. Now I just want to point out real quick that we support this concept of read-only user role. So what this means is if I check this for this user role, people who are members of this user role have access to the Azure subscriptions checked in this scope section here, but they can't change anything on those objects through AppController. They won't be able to create new VMs and hosted services. I believe we hop back to the PowerPoint here. So that was kind of like the setup of AppController and how you get to where you can actually start doing interesting things, actually start consuming capacity. Does anybody have any questions so far? Hopefully pretty straightforward. Awesome.
Great. So next we're going to talk about as Tabriz granted users the access for those clouds and resources capacities, what do we do with it? Obviously, we want to deploy some applications to it. We want to run those applications and do all sorts of common operations we used to do with an application running in the cloud. So can you switch to the demo? We'll just quickly jump into demo here. So if you remember earlier, I logged in as an administrator, and I can see a lot of clouds here. In this case, I'm logged in as a self-service user, so I'm only seeing two clouds provided by SPF, one in VMM and only one in Windows Azure, versus earlier I actually see a lot with unlimited capacity. In this case, I actually have limited capacity here. So what we're going to do is we're going to show you the flow for deploying an application to all those different clouds is going to give you the same experience in AppController and really shows that this is a single console that you can do similar operations. So what I'm going to do next is I am going to deploy a VM into my hosted provider SPF cloud. going to select a template. This is a template that my administrator granted me access. So I'm going to select this template, configure this virtual machine. Let's see. Take a demo. Specialize some of the properties for this virtual machine. Name, size, administrator password. So it looks good. Let's go ahead and deploy this.
And just to be clear here, that template that you would have seen because she was deploying on an SPF cloud, it says, hey, you're deploying on SPF cloud. What templates do you have access to? Well, those templates would have been added there by the hoster. So the hoster has created some offerings in their mind, and the hoster is me in this case. And I created a template that has a 40 gig VHD, plus it installs Windows and some IIS roles and all that stuff. So that is encapsulated within the templates. The hoster here with SPF, the functionality allows them to do is use templates from VMM and provide those as deployment units for customers consuming this capacity. And here in this example is through App Controller.
Great. So as you can see, this machine is being deployed. Next, I'm going to deploy a virtual machine into my private cloud backed by my on-premises virtual machine manager. So very similar experience here. I'm going to select my engineering cloud. Look at my quota, so I still have enough quota for me to deploy a VM. Similar story here. My admin from my on-premises data center already gave me access to two templates here, and I'm going to select the Server 2008 R2 virtual machine template. As you can see, the experience is almost identical to deploy a VM in the hosting provider. So this is going to be VMM VM. Same idea, I need to specify password. To deploy. Give it a minute so you will see that showing up in the virtual machines view. So one more thing earlier I mentioned is that we also support the Windows Azure virtual machine role introduced last week. So here I'm going to deploy the same thing in Windows Azure cloud as well. One of the things Azure introduced is actually that the platform will provide you a list of images I can use. So in this case, I see quite a few images, and I'm going to select my SQL virtual machine and deploy it into my West Europe hosted service. So a couple concepts here. When you deploy a virtual machine or any service into Windows Azure, there's a concept where you need to define the hosted service or the new terminology called a cloud service. And you need to specify which environment you want to put it in. So in this case, virtual machine is only supported to run in production environment.
That name's going to be totally be taken by somebody else.
No, that's okay. It's a deployment. So what Bruce is just saying is that in Windows Azure, when you deploy something to Windows Azure, they actually give you a DNS name. So when you look at the hosted service, this name actually needs to be unique. If you look at the public URL here, I don't know if it even shows up there.
Yeah, it does. That's good enough.
So yeah, that name is actually going to be unique. So whenever you create a new hosted service or new cloud service, then you need to guarantee the uniqueness of that. In this case, I already pre-created this service. I'm going to just use this. And this is my deployment name, which doesn't need to be unique. Demo VM. Again, similar experience here. We need to specify the virtual machine, some of the properties the virtual machine needs. So it's going to be my Taika VM. So Windows Azure doesn't have a concept or template here, but as you know, in VMM, you can actually specialize, deploy a VM in very granular settings. So you can say, like, I want a VM with four CPUs and 2.5 gig of RAM, versus in Windows Azure, it gives you a set of predefined sizes. So I can choose between extra small to extra large, one of the size. In this case, I'm going to select a small VM. And because I'm deploying from an image, which means that this image is being provided by the Windows Azure platform, and I need to copy that image to my own storage account. So I'm going to put it into my storage account, and again, I need to specify password. And we're done. So now we can actually get this VM deployed. As you can see, we earlier deployed two VMs. They're both running here. One more thing I want to show as a deploy here is that Windows Azure supports other than VMs, they also support the service, which is a platform as a service way of deployment. So in this case, I'm also going to deploy a Drupal app into Windows Azure. And the way Windows Azure supports a platform as a service package is that you need to define, you are a developer, or like me as a developer here, will define a CS package or CS configuration file through Visual Studio. And once that's been configured, we can deploy it here. So I'm going to select this configuration file. Similar case, I need to define a cloud service here. And in this case, I'm just going to use Drupal. And give it a deployment name. And I already deployed a Drupal service into my staging environment. As you can see, it's already been taken. So I'm going to have a production one here. Need to select the configuration file. Because each platform as a service deployment, you need to specify a configuration file and a package file. And this is going to say we have one webflow defined, and I actually want to have two instances of that running. Can deploy that. And here you will see actually I have a Drupal service I deployed earlier in my staging environment running here. This is the one I showed earlier. And there are, other than deploying all those VMs and services into the cloud, one other thing we support is also all the operations you can do with the virtual machines. So for example, you can start, stop running those virtual machines, store them into your libraries if you don't want to consume any compute. In the VMM case, we support console into the virtual machine, versus in Windows Azure, we also support remote desktop into those virtual machines. Yeah, I didn't enter a password that's strong enough, so skip from that. Is there any questions so far before we move on to, go ahead.
So the question is, how do you build out hybrid apps that bridge clouds that you may connect to an app controller and then support an app controller for things like SQL Azure, ACS, Service Bus, et cetera, right? So in this release of App Controller, we only support the hosted service functionality and of Azure. So we don't support SQL Azure, ACS. Those things would need to be done out of band from the App Controller console. And for bridging, we don't support yet deploying services within one deployment unit that bridge both, you know, public and private clouds. But you could, I mean, obviously deploy two services and just hope that you need to be able to keep track of them. But we don't provide a single deployment entity that covers both. So within that, like, diagram view that pops up, you can't have a diagram view for both, for two different kinds of clouds. What we show so far in App Controller is that if you went to the services view, you would see in the single view a service deployment that's running in VMM and a service deployment that's running in Azure, but not a single service deployment that's running both in like SPF and VMM or SPF and Azure.
Okay. So a couple of other things I want to mention here is that we also support a couple operations for Windows Azure that's very specific to Windows Azure. Is one of them is upgrade. One of the things Azure supports is that if you have the same application deployed in both your production environment and your staging environment, you can actually do a VIP swap. And that way you actually can go, can have your staging environment to be replacing the production environment in a couple seconds. So I can show you here that way it happens is you just go to upgrade flow, change the environment for this service, and click upgrade, and we are done here. And this will basically swap the environment and swap the virtual IP addresses for those two environments in a couple of seconds, and those two will actually flip the. Take a little bit of time, but that's how easy it is to push your staging environment into production in Windows Azure. Both Virtual Machine Manager and SPF support services as well. We are not showing it here, but it's fully supported to run services or multi-tier services to be deployed and operated by App Controller.
The biggest point here is that while App Controller obviously supports multiple clouds and multiple clouds, like for example, a service template within VMM versus a hosted service within Azure, like the concepts and technologies and how they work are different. Is the experience for the application owner, the application administrator that's going to use App Controller to consume that cloud capacity, the view for that user to finish the task of maintaining or deploying those applications out looks very, very similar. So in the Azure case, we hope that application administrators won't need to resort to, you know, editing XML files to modify their configuration, or if they want to specify parameters, also putting that within the XML files. We provide an interface that looks at those configuration settings that somebody may need to set, and this is in the case of service templates, hosted services, et cetera, and give an interface that they simply just type into boxes. And this is way easier than the scenario, obviously, of opening up Notepad and modifying the XML by hand. And it gives a similar view regardless of the kind of cloud that you're deploying on.
In System Center 2012 RTM release, we supported with both Windows Azure and Virtual Machine Manager Cloud. But one of the questions we keep getting asked was that, like, okay, great, you support both of them in a single console. Can you move things along? Can you move a virtual machine running on premise into Windows Azure? And the answer has been no for a while until Windows Azure releases the virtual machine load recently. And in the Service Pack 1 release, we support migration of VM from your Virtual Machine Manager into Windows Azure to be running as a Windows Azure VM. And I'm going to quickly show you how that's been performed in this case. So one of the dangers of running two virtual machines, identical virtual machines in two places, is that you might have conflicted IP addresses, you have the same machine joined to the domain, and all that networking issues come in. So one of the solutions for us is that we recommend you to store this virtual machine. The idea in VMM is if you store a virtual machine, we copy all the assets belong to the virtual machine into a library, and this virtual machine is no longer running, and we will be able to move those to Windows Azure and deploy an almost similar VM, but not quite. We'll use the same VHD, but the settings of this virtual machine will be default to as close as possible to the sizes Windows Azure provide. As I said earlier, VMM provides you very granular settings, and in this case, in Azure, we only get to choose between extra small to extra large, and we have to map them in a way. So I'm going to take one of my TechCat01 VM, which is already stored, and click migrate here. And because it's migrated, my only choice of destination cloud will be my Windows Azure cloud. Same experience of running through this diagram view. Cool, to choose a hosted service named migration destination. In this case, I already have a virtual machine running there, so this virtual machine will be run added into the hosted service or cloud service. By default, this name will be mapped. Just going to change it to be 011 in case. And by default, it maps me into a median size based on the setting of this virtual machine. For Windows Azure, the closest map will be a median size. And we already know where the VHDs exist, and I just need to pick a destination for this VHD. I'm going to put it on my VM's container. As you can see, it knows that it has a one system disk. It's going to copy it. Click deploy. And it will be deployed into Windows Azure in a bit. What it really happens as a background is that we're copying this virtual hard disk from Windows Azure from VMM data center into Windows Azure data center, which is not the fastest operation here. And think of a VHD, that's tens or hundreds of gig. So in this case, I've already migrated this another one instance of this yesterday, and I'm going to show this virtual machine quickly.
You have the connection open.
Oh, actually, yeah. I have a remote desktop already for this one. Come on. It's not going to. Just going to redo it.
So there's no questions about anything we've explained so far? Another question.
So the question is, if you have a virtual machine that's already joined to a domain, has IP address assigned, how is it going to be able to communicate to the domain? So with the Windows Azure virtual machine release, there's an associated release called virtual network release with Windows Azure, which supports the VPM or Windows Azure between Windows Azure and your on-premises data center. So once you get that set up, the machines that migrate to the Windows Azure data center can actually talk back to your on-premises AD or any other services without any problem. So your IP address can be kept. You can use the same DNS server to communicate back to all your other tiers of that service as well. No, so the virtual network support that Windows Azure introduced actually allows you to have a virtual layer 2 on top. It's all logical, right? So it's a virtual layer 2. They know how to log that back to your VPN. Through VPM, it can log back to your on-premise data center. So it's actually you can have the same IP address range defined in Windows Azure data center. They know how to log that. So there's actually separate talks on virtual network from Windows Azure teams. And look through channel 9, you should be able to find one of those. So if this virtual machine being moved to Windows Azure is already joined to a domain, being monitored by operations manager, everything will continue to work with the technology of virtual network supported by Windows Azure. We don't support it in App Controller at this moment. Sorry, the question is, how do I move the VM from Windows Azure back to my on-premise data center? We don't support it in App Controller currently. However, the VHDs running inside Windows Azure is compatible with VHDs running for Hyper-V as well. So you could copy that VHD back yourself. Or because in this case, we store that virtual machine. So if you move the virtual machine from VMM to Windows Azure and figure it out, it actually doesn't quite work out for you for either the latency or the size issue, whatever it is, you can actually redeploy this stored VM and you'll get back to your environment.
And then within App Controller, we obviously have the library functionality that allows you to
copy between clouds, so from Azure, you know, back down to a file share or for otherwise.
The only thing to just keep in mind is Azure, copying data from your data center into Windows Azure is free. However, if you want to copy data out of Windows Azure, there might be some costs related associated with the bandwidth charge Windows Azure charges. So there is a cost, and it really should be, if you really want that virtual machine back, try to redeploy the stored VM will probably be the best bet for you. Anything else before we move? So this is a, just quickly. Oh. This is a virtual machine we moved earlier, and the desktop is not
You connected without desktop. So yeah. The desktop would have contained a background.
So like IP address being assigned to virtual machine, all that. But
we connected with, I guess, a DSL rated connection. And the background didn't show up. But this is the exact same VM and got migrated, IP address, all that magic. She's talking about virtual networks. It got reconnected back up. So this is one that we, I think, started this morning and it finished at like lunchtime.
Yep.
So. Go back to the PowerPoint. Oh, so we kind of expected a lot more questions because this is such a new product. So I can show you guys one more thing, but questions because it is new. If you guys have questions about SPF, what it means to connect to your cloud assets, requirements, et cetera? Or is this like incredibly simple for all of you guys? I'm gonna go with incredibly simple for all you guys. So just wanna show you guys one quick thing. We have been going through so far for all the demos right now. We've been walking through the RTM release. Wow, thank you, Bing. We've been walking through the RTM release. Now, we only had a couple things in there. We didn't have an example of service templates and what that looks like from VMM. So I want to quickly connect back to an environment that our app controller team actually uses day in and day out. It's the first one. So wait here for a sec. I am an administrator on it. So I want to quickly go back to this environment so it can kind of show you what it looks like day in and day out. So there's a lot of scenarios that you have self-service users consuming capacity for clouds. So there's the stereotypical or this cookie-cutter scenario where people have in their minds that there's this application owner that developer hands off, you know, his package, his bits, et cetera, to the application owner. The application owner has been granted access to some cloud capacity, and this guy goes to the clouds and deploys those packages out there. But there's other scenarios that perhaps you guys will, you know, it'll make a little bit more sense, easier to get to, easier to understand for self-service users. So a self-service user example that we have today, and this is a live instance that our development team is using back in Redmond, is we actually consider all our dev, test, employees, people, engineers, to be self-service users. And what this means is that administrators of the VMM environment here, so quickly jump into here, have designed some templates way for it to fill out. So some service templates for what it means for our developers to do day-to-day tasks. So they actually use App Controller every single day to deploy out other instances of App Controller. And yes, App Controller can deploy itself through VMM. You know, App Controller with a standalone SQL tier, for example. Just like quickly open this up here. So like a developer needed to test App Controller with, you know, a separate SQL tier. An example of just, you know, a blank Windows machine, VMM deployed out using VMM, Windows with SQL, et cetera, et cetera. So what you can do for your guys' enterprises or solutions providers is build out templates that your dev and test teams are going to be using day in and day out. And this gives them an environment, you give them some capacity, you give them some quota, et cetera, that they can just consume these templates and your basic configurations of what it means for those guys to develop, to set up their development environments. You know, so if you have a VHD that has Visual Studio in it, you want to give your developers 8 gigs of RAM, you know, 120 gig VHD for that, you define that in a template, and your dev and test just go into this environment And within 15 to 20 minutes, whatever it basically takes to copy the VHD, because that's the longest task, we'll have new development environments, new testing environments spun up within a matter of minutes. So we use this day in and day out. You can obviously see that there's 100 or so objects deployed in here, Azure services, VM services, projects that we're actively working on. So this is an example. Like we spent the entire presentation thus far talking about this application owner experience of what it means for some developers written a CS package and CS dev and how I want to take this to Azure and deploy it out using App Controller. But there's also much, much simpler scenarios that you can use this. Use App Controller for. And actually, this example here is probably the best differentiation because people get questions about, in System Center 2012, we've seen you guys release SM, the SM portal, and the App Controller portal. And they're both self-service portals. So what does that mean? And this is actually the best example of how to differentiate between when you use what portal over the other. So with the SM portal, you have obviously, in SM, it's for IT process, change management, etc. Let's say Ewan comes in and she needs access to some cloud. App Controller today doesn't have integration with the CMDB, but obviously SM is. So you would go through SM through the self-service portal to request and provision access to some capacity. But once you or Ewan has joined a team and she's been granted access to, in this case, the engineering cloud or OMC InfraCloud, etc., she then goes into App Controller to consume that capacity because this is a better interface here to actually live day in and day out, deploying, deleting, starting, stopping, storing, etc., with your services and VMs. Whereas in SM, the self-service aspect of that is I need to request more capacity, I need to reduce. Well, I don't know who would reduce, but I need to change my capacity. I need some service requests like this VM is not connecting to the network. Take a look at it. What does that mean? You would go to SM. That would be the self-service portal experience that SM is designed for there, whereas here, once that capacity has been allocated for you, you come into App Controller to actually consume that capacity. And just to highlight real quick, if you select one of these templates, for example, just to show what a common developer would do on our team, they select that they want to deploy this template. As a self-service user, they only get access to the engineering cloud. They come into here, there's some service settings that the developer, that the template is designed, has said that these are required, so I need to make some demo blah, that this is the name of the machine when it's going to be joined to the domain, and the username that is deploying it out, so it adds it as an administrator. And with literally just two settings, if you think about the dev test scenario, like in typical, I had people coming by the booth yesterday, asking about these kinds of scenarios. They're like, well, when someone requests that they need a machine, or we have even a blueprint, a 10-page doc of setting up some capacity or setting up a VM for a developer, or even the developer setting it up themselves, they kind of do the same thing day in and day out. They install Windows, they install some roles, they install SQL, but all of that can be captured within a VMM service template. And so I did the same thing here. SQL is captured within that. VMM is going to complete that for me using a SQL profile. I'm going to run some scripts to add it, to add some DNS stuff. I'm going to add that user to the local admin group. All these things that will bring tremendous savings to the engineering group that, an administrator just spends a couple minutes provisioning this so that all his or her users can then later consume. So I set just two settings, but it's going to set up a bunch of stuff behind the scenes once I click deploy. Within about 15 or 20 minutes, not going to wait for it. All that stuff will be ready for the developer to do as they wish with the VM. So talk about the application owner scenario, but there's other scenarios that exist for self-service portals, and just wanted to make that obvious for you guys. Any questions about how this works, the concept? Sorry? So quotas, the question is, where are quotas set up? So just like you would set up RBAC in VMM, you would set up quotas in VMM. And if you come up after the presentation, I can kind of show you what that looks like in VMM. You can set up quotas for the user role. And then there's a different setting right next to it that you can also define, obviously, first, settings for the user role, and then quota per user in the user role. So I can say that the user role gets max 10 VMs, right? But there's going to be this one greedy guy that's in the user role that's going to take all 10 VMs. Well, I don't want to do that. So then I can set an additional setting that says every user within this user role only gets 2 VMs max. So per user role and then per user within the role, or quota settings, you design in VMM. And those settings are on the user role, not on the cloud itself. So as you log in and we figure out what user role you're a member of in VMM, we inherit those quota settings and we designate whether or not you have X amount of quota left or not to VMM. But we show a user experience for that. If they try to deploy, they're out of quota, you know, red letters, you don't have enough of whatever CPU memory, et cetera. So anticipated more questions, which is cool. It just means we're really awesome at explaining all of this. But in review, just to kind of wrap things up, hopefully you guys understand some scenarios where App Controller can be used, what App Controller is today in reflection with Self-Service Portal from 2012. Self-Service Portal 2012 SP1 obviously doesn't exist for VMM. App Controller is the story for that. Self-Service Portal 2.0, just to reiterate, was for 2008 R2, is not being updated for 2012. And so you have Self-Service Portal for App Controller is a Self-Service Portal, and then you have SM, and I walked you guys through what the scenarios you would use SM for, just to disambiguate SM and App Controller, like why are the two Self-Service Portals. Hopefully we explain, since this is maybe the first time some of you guys have seen App Controller, maybe you saw it at MMS, heard about it. This is the first time, obviously, at TechEd since it's been released publicly. We walked you guys through what exists in 2012, but also showed you two of the big features coming in SP1, the support for the Azure virtual machine, and also connecting to SPF clouds, that third kind of cloud. And answer your questions, the few questions that we got. So understand, App Controller, it is a product. You get it, just like Ewan said in the beginning. If you are a System Center customer, or you get this automatically part of the license. Obviously, System Center, there's just one license for all the System Center components. It would really hit home that it's a single console to access all your clouds and VMs and services that are deployed on them, and private, public, and now hosted clouds in SP1. So, wrong keyboard. So related content, attend all those sessions that, never mind, we're like second to last session, right? So here's a couple sessions that are listed that are related to App Controller and VMM and SPF. Check those out, especially if the SPF stuff is a little bit fuzzy. It's not an SPF session here, so we just showed you how you connected to it. But what SPF is, how it works, how you set it up, different sessions for that, so definitely go check that stuff out. Obviously, CTP2 release of System Center is going to be available 6:15. So go party on this stuff. SPF will be part of that as well, so you can set up SPF and have App Controller SP1 connect to it and some other related stuff. There's this blank thing at the bottom that says where you're supposed to find me later at booth or whatever. You're not going to find me at the booth. Just if you manage somehow miraculously to run into me at the attendee party or Ewan, ask us questions if you have them.
If you remember to ask any questions or if anything that you didn't ask here, feel free to find us in the attendees party.
And
if you can find us.
Yes. And then, wow, where is that thingy? So this, please go evaluate the session. Let us know how we did. Let us know if this was useful. Your feedback is extremely important to us. So thanks for coming, guys.